Well, I'm going to get right into the Word of the Lord right now. Can't wait to get there. I think I'll start right now. Happy Mother's Day to you, by the way. I think I said that to you, but, you know, I was thinking of my own mother this morning, and I know if you had the floor, you would have your own story about your mother. But our mother, there were six of us kids, and I never heard Mom complain about, you know, all the stuff. And we usually had a three-bedroom home with one bathroom. That was two boys and four girls and a mom and dad. And unless my memory's gone, I never remember her whining and complaining about that. I'm like, where did she put us all? How did she cook all that food? But I can still remember her voice. There's just not another voice like my mother's voice. And her hands were always so soft. And she was just a good mom. I mean, when we were little kids and going to school, and she never worked, and she always stayed home like many of your mothers, always there when we got home. Linda came into our family when she was about 16. I was about third grade, I think. And we've been sisters ever since. Mama taught her to cook. If you go to Linda's house, you're going to get some of that southern cooking, just like my mom did. So she was a teacher. She loved us until the day that she passed. So I'm looking forward to seeing her, and one day we'll all be together again. But happy birthday to my mother and to yours, amen, and to those that you have mothered, amen. And I would like to give you a Mother's Day message today, and this is, ladies, but we're in such an important time. I mean, sometimes I don't feel like we have any time to waste. I cannot waste one message, not one sermon. I mean, time is short, and the devil knows it's short, and that's why he fights so hard, and that's why such darkness has covered this earth. So I'm going to bring you an urgent message, and I feel like it's very urgent, and I'm going to go ahead with it. And in fact, I kept telling Linda and Rick, oh, wow, I wish I had someone to bring this Mother's Day message. I'll just be honest with you. I said, you know, on these special messages, they're kind of, you know, they take a lot more work. You've preached so many of the same thing. You've got to make this thing live. And then there was just a download, and I'm thankful for it. So, you know, I'll just give it to you anyway. So with this being such an important time, I want us to look at, I'll start with something sweet first. I think it'll stay sweet. Let's see what your attitude is. Just kidding. Kind of. Okay, let's go over to Romans 16:13. I always thought this was so sweet. Paul was in Rome, and he's telling his disciples who had followed him, telling them who to say hello to. Man, he had so many co-workers, and he said, say hello to them, but say hello to my son over here, and say hello to my friends, and he had so many sons and daughters in the faith. And then he gets to verse 13. Look at this. It's the sweetest thing. I love this. Paul's words. He said, say hello to Rufus. Say hello to Rufus and also his dear mother. Now, I'm reading from the New Living Translation because I love the way it was translated. Say hello to Rufus and also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. See, she wasn't biological, but he said, that woman has been such a precious mother to me. So many of you are a mother just like that, and others have depended on you. You may have a woman in your life you call a second mother, the woman you love so much, who took care of you at different times in your life. But I want us to go over to the book of Judges, and I'm not going to elaborate on this real long, but in Judges chapter 5, verse 7. Now, I'm going to go over there with you because, you know, we preached on Deborah every which way, but I do have to bring her in here because I love how it reads, because it's going to talk to us ladies. I don't care how old you are or how young you are, this message is coming to you from the Lord's hand and from heaven today. Look at Judges chapter 5, verse 7. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose. Arose a mother in Israel. Village life ceased. Now, I brought the former part of that on up. I brought that right as COVID started, where it says, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted and travelers walked along the highways, but life ceased. Well, I'm not talking about that, but I was just going to tell you, I know I just used that as we started 2020. Village life ceased, listen to me, until this mother arose. And in some of your lives, you may feel like life has ceased as you knew it. Or your children aren't the way they used to be. Or your grandchildren aren't the way they used to be. And your business isn't where it was because of last year, possibly. But life in your village has ceased. That's what Deborah said. So I want us to take her pattern. It says it ceased until I, Deborah, arose. In other words, I had to get up. I could no longer just sit there in my comfort zone because there was nothing going on in my life and others' lives. It was an ugly situation. So Deborah got up and began to fight. In fact, it says Deborah arose a mother in Israel. But what I hear the Lord doing in this hour is saying, mothers, rise up in America. Mothers, rise up in your families. Mama, get up in Jesus' name and fight this battle. You've got some people to fight for, amen? Oh, you've got some people to fight for. Why? Look at this. Let's look at verse 8. She said, life ceased until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. Why? Look, because they chose new gods. They chose new gods. I'm going to tell you something. America is choosing some really funny gods today. One of their gods is this earth, Mother Earth. They're choosing all kinds of gods. They had their god for a while was entertainment. And now it's just like that god has kind of fizzled. America was, Hollywood was a god, but it's kind of come down a little bit. Because I believe some mighty people have risen up and said, no, you don't. And so these gods begin to rise. And it said there was war in the gates. Look at verse 8. They chose new gods and there was war in the gates. What gates? Well, there could be war in your gates at home. Gates in your marriage. War rose up in a certain area in your life. And you're like, where did that come from? Well, I can tell you where that war came from. It came from hell. You know that anyway. We don't need a preacher, a prophet, evangelist to tell us that. But she said, I had to get up. I can no longer just say, well, we're going to pray about that. Or would you join me in prayer as I pray for this? She said, I couldn't do that anymore. This was serious. Life had ceased where I was. And there were new gods being formed all around us. Now there's a god of the human body. They're worshiping bodies of men, women. No, you can't say that anymore, but the whatever, the they, if you can say they. But the worship of the human body, and there's just a plain war. She said, there's a war. So I am a mom, and I had to rise up. So just meditate right there. There's a war. They're choosing other gods now. So I, a mother in America, in the American church, in the kingdom of God, I arose a woman, a mother. All right, do you all remember, some of you are dealing with it now. You remember when the babies were little and you were up all night or much of the night, or if they slept good, you got up every few hours to feed them as newborns, to change their diapers. I heard we have two babies in the house that got a little mixed up. Miss Millie, as pretty as she is, they tell me that she has her days and her nights mixed up, or at least they were. And so she would stay awake all night and just look pretty. And then she would sleep all day. And then Faith's little Elena, she's got her nights and her days mixed up. She could care less that Daddy stands on his feet all day at the post office. She don't care. She just wants to be awake at night and sleep during the day while he's gone. Wait till Dad gets home, and then I'll wake up. And so these young mothers, they have to do like many of us did, stay up half the night. Now, those of you that aren't married, forget all about this, Micah. It'll be good, I promise. But sometimes you're up all night. David was telling me about a fireman that had twins, and he comes in there just dragging. So what's wrong with you? We're up all night. When one of the twins go to sleep, the other one's awake. Yes. And so raising the babies, you're up and you're down and you're hoping to get some sleep. Now when they grow up and they start sleeping well and they start going to school and you just want to spank the bottom at times, and then they go through the rebellion of teenage years and then they get married and they're gone. Can I tell you that is no time to sleep, mothers. You can't start sleeping then. What if the mama said, well, the baby's sleeping good at night now. I'll just go to sleep too. I'll just sleep all night and I'll be able to take a nap during the day. You listen, that's no time to stop. When you see those kids going through something at school, you've got to be that mother like Deborah and you have to rise up and say there's a war at school. There's something going on and they're trying to slip this curriculum in and they're trying to teach the babies about this and they're trying to go here. I will not have it as an American mother, as a mother in the church. I will rise up and take dominion over this war. That's what Deborah did and that's what God is calling us to. Now I am calling my message today, the power of a mother's cry. I didn't say the power of a mother's prayer. We've got all those books, especially that all came out in the 80s, called The Power of a Mother's Prayer, The Power of Mama's Song, The Power of all these things. We're talking about the power of a mother's cry. And you don't hear too much about a mother crying for those things anymore. But you hear a lot of things, like my kid is totally lost. They're acting like the devil. I just want to knock the devil out of them. When's the last time that you rose up, Deborah? When's the last time that you rose up in power and you prayed the prayer of faith and you cried real tears and you travailed and you hurt and you carried that baby? You got to stand in a fight. You just can't talk about how bad that grown boy is or that grown girl, their marriage or that son-in-law or that daughter-in-law. Quit talking about them and do your part. You say they're married now. They have to do their own prayers. Yes, you girls do. You young women, I'm telling you, I'm talking to you too. We fought this fight and we're fighting it now, but God's calling us to a brand new battle, a brand new war. He said this one's going to include tears. You cannot just stand back and say, you're little, now I lay me down to sleep. Oh, I pray, Lord, that you keep my kids. That's not working. If you think it is, look around. See what's happening to them, church. Somebody's got to fight this battle, and it's going to have to be us, moms. Come on, somebody better stay with me this morning. I hear him saying, there's no time. I want to show you 2 Timothy 1 and 5. You're all very familiar with this, but this is going to bring you nanas in. This is going to bring you grandmas in. You say, oh, you always get around to that. Well, I am today, too. So look at 2 Timothy 1, 5. I love it. Paul talking to his spiritual son, Timothy. This is so precious. Paul said, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. First, it dwelt in your grandmother, Lois. And then your mother, Eunice. And I'm persuaded that it's in you too. You also. Grandma, it's very important that you pray the same crying prayer as your daughters pray. Daughters, you must pray the same prayer as your mothers pray and your grandmother prayed. You may say, I remember my grandmother's prayer. I remember my mother. Well, how about yours? Don't you depend on them just to fight this fight in this war zone. President Trump called this war zone not even a believer when he went into office. Now, he may have been a believer, but I don't know that, Lord, forgive me if I'm wrong, but a Christian. But when he went into office, he said, folks, there's an invisible enemy out here that's fighting against us. And he was talking about the political arena. But I'm talking to you about the world's arena. You and I are so blessed to live in the kingdom. But we have so much available to us that's just flowing downstream. It's just flowing downstream. And we cannot let these blessings flow downstream. We have to rise up, church, and take it back. We have to get up. No longer, you just don't. Quit talking about it. Quit crying about it. And get up and take your place as a mother in America. As a mother, get up, mama. You say, I don't know how to cry and pray. I don't know. Well, practice. I'm not talking about just thinking sad things to make you cry. I'm saying when you think of the warfare that's on your child, why are they acting the way they act? Why does your wife act the way she acts? Why is your husband behaving like that? Well, you'll probably never know. And it doesn't matter if you get the power of the cry. And you begin to talk to God. Paul says, oh, Timothy, I remember, he says, man, I see genuine faith in you, but I remember first your grandma Lois and then your mama Eunice. He said, those girls fought the good fight. And now I see it in you. And mamas, if you and I fight this, our daughters will see us fight and they will fight just like us. To fight just like you. But if they see us in our little comfort zone, and it's all about me, 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 Miss Selfish Me, that's how they're going to be. And it's going to be, get out of my life. But when they see Eunice, that's Lois, and Eunice, Mama and Grandma, that doesn't mean you go in their house and bombard it. That means you get in your prayer closet by yourself. Jesus said, when you pray, Matthew 6:6, when, not if. When you pray, go in your room and shut the door. And your Father who is in secret will see you in secret. And he'll bless you openly. Everybody will see the blessing come. When Mama, the mother of Israel, Mama, the mother of America, rises up. I'm telling you, moms, listen, listen, listen. We can take a hold of, we can take a hold of any situation. It doesn't matter how hard, it doesn't matter how mean, it doesn't matter how nasty, it doesn't matter how ridiculous and horrible it is. We can take a hold of it by prayer. And when we cry with it and you take that powerful cry, that morning, I'll show it to you in just a moment. But you can take it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that prayer really doesn't come from you because we just don't have it to give. But the Bible says that Jesus is an intercessor for us. In fact, listen, it says that Jesus lives to make intercession for us. But then it says the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't hear you interceding, then he's going to be, well, what do I pray about? But when you start interceding and you start praying in tongues and you pray in the Spirit, Holy Spirit, man, he's going to start right in and he will intercede and he'll grab a hold of that boy and he'll grab a hold of that girl and he'll grab a hold of that money and that poverty mentality. He'll get it and push you through. Come on, church. Oh, Jesus' name. Oh, I want to go back. getting ahead of myself, but let me go back to Deborah. He said, wake up, girl. There's war in the gates. And then we go on down to verse 12. And the Bible says, the people cried out. Listen, people need help, church. Your kids need help. Your friends need help. The workplace. And they begin to scream because they knew she was touching heaven. They knew she knew how to get to God. And they said, awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Sing a song. Please, Mother Deborah, awake. Come on, wake up. We cannot afford to let you sleep. And I hear the Holy Spirit and the angels of heaven calling out to God's women. And he said, women of God, listen, wake up. Wake up. You don't have to know everything that's going on. You say, I just don't understand. And you probably never will. You might. But what difference does it make? I'll never know why my husband and daughter left years and years ago when he was 40 and she was 10. I'll never know why that car accident had to happen. But all I know is my God is great and he's mighty and he's kept me and he calls us to burst through the darkness of death. That's what I know. And I know that the Holy Spirit made a way where there seemed to be no way. And he calls my spirit to awake at that time. And I don't care what you're going through. Allow the Holy Spirit to cause you to wake up. Because listen, church, he's the only one that can do that. We can't all wake up ourselves. There's been times where I felt like I was half dead. And I said, Holy Spirit, I can't wake up. I am so sleepy and I'm tired and I can't seem to wake up spiritually. Now, that'll happen at different times in your Christian life. And I say, if you don't help me, I just may sleep all the way through. And I loved him, and I was faithful. And I wanted all he had, but I couldn't seem to get my spirit awake. So I know how that feels if that's where some of you are. But he's good, and I hear his spirit calling us, awake, awake, wake up, folks. Wake up, mama. Wake up, mama. Wake up, wake up. Sing a song. Awake. Again, you don't have to do it by yourself. Listen, let me tell you one more time. You don't have it in you. You don't have the stuff in you to do that, but the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit will do it for you. The Holy Spirit, he wouldn't have said, wake up if he could not awaken you. He got Jesus up out of that tomb, and Jesus was in there all by himself. And the Holy Spirit woke him up. And it says that same spirit, the spirit of God, raised Christ from the dead, that same spirit that dwells in you will quicken your mortal body. He'll do it for us, just like he did Jesus. And he said, awake, awake, Deborah. Listen, folks, people are depending on you. These little guys that go to school, they're not going to come home and tell you, Mama, I'm depending on you. If you don't pray for me, I don't know what's going to happen at school. They're not going to tell you that because they don't know. Do you think your older children are going to come, Mama, I don't know it? Or they're not. But I'm telling you, there's people depending on you to fight the good fight. There's non-believers out there. There's people that don't know how to do this. But I pray that every woman sitting under the sound of my voice this morning will grab a hold of this message and we will wake up. A mother, just a plain mother, Deborah, just rose up and took this old bull by the horns and she took Israel through a horrible, horrible time. You and I may not be able to take America, but if we just take our families, if we just take one person, if you can just meditate on him and do your part, then we'll help America get through, amen? Well, here's where it might get a little rough. But I think I probably already told you most of it because most of the time I can't hold back with what I'm going to tell you. All right, go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm just going to run through a bunch of these, so it might be hard to follow me. So, Kathy, just stay with me. Jeremiah 1:12. The Lord said to me, Jeremiah speaking, the Lord said to me, I am ready to perform my word. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, come quickly. Lord Jesus. I am ready to perform my word. I believe he's there at this hour. Verse 14. Out of the north, calamity shall break forth. Verse 15. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdom. How many? All the families of the kingdom. Not just some families. I'm calling all the families of the kingdom. Verse 19. Now listen, here it is. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against who? Not against you. For why? For I am with you, says the Lord, to do what? I'm here. He said, you don't have to go looking for me. I am in you. I am with you. And he says, I am ready to perform my word. And the north is going to come against you. Now that's spiritual wickedness in high places. They come against us from every direction, the unseen enemy. So he said, I'm calling, listen, he said, this is an important call. I'm calling all the families of the kingdom. Why? Because we have no power outside this kingdom. But in the kingdom, we have everything we need. We just must be awakened to it. So he said, now you fight, they will come and they will fight against you. But I'm calling all you families to war. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail against you because I am with you to deliver you. One on one. One out of one. I want to deliver every single one of you. Now, I want us to look at verse 20. We'll go over to Jeremiah 9. Yeah, over to Jeremiah chapter 9. Oh my goodness, look at this. Jeremiah 9, 17 and 18. Here says the Lord of hosts, consider, here it is, this is where it gets hard. Consider and call for the mourning women. And you say, oh good, I love early morning. No, it's not M-O-R-N-I-N-G. I love to sleep in the morning. Oh no. Let's not get our mornings mixed up. No, I'm calling for the mourning, the grieving, the heavy women, that they may come and send for the skillful, wailing women. I need them to come too. Let them take up wailing for us, said God to Jeremiah. See, church, I told you they're depending on us. Even this body was saying, Jeremiah and the men were crying out, the priest. Get that, ladies. The priests, the preachers. They were saying, oh, God, send us. God saying to them, we need the mourning women. We need the wailing women. Those that know how to cry. Those that know how to fight this war of this invisible enemy. This army coming out of the north. This spiritual wickedness in high places. We need those women. And then in verse 20, get this, ladies. I don't want to dump too much heaviness on you this morning. But it says, teach your daughters wailing. Teach your daughters to wail. Now I'm your spiritual mom up here this morning. And girls, I am teaching you something this morning. It's time for you and me to learn how to wail and begin to cry out for our families and for our homes and for our communities and for our babies and for our schools and for every bit of evil the devil is bringing against your home. Do not leave them uncovered. You might say, well, my daughter and her husband or mother, a little family, you know, my children, they're all good and they're all doing good. Well, that's good, but you don't know what kind of unseen enemies underneath. You better get to war here, and you better hear what your pastor is saying. I'm trying to teach you there is a power in wailing and mourning, and a mama's cry. When a mama begins to cry, something begins to happen like it did for Deborah when Deborah prayed and cried the fight of faith. Woo, hallelujah. Teach your daughters to wail. Mamas, young mamas, that means you too. Because you know why? Your babies will see you wailing. Your babies will see you sometimes talking to God when there's nobody around and it's just you in a car. Look at Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, oh, my young women, old women, all women, listen. Dads, you get to listen too. Isn't this good? Guys, isn't this good? You're going to get your turn next month. Say, good, my wife needs to pray a little bit more. Well, look at Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and seek. And ask, ooh, this is a no-no in our day. Ask for the what? The old path. Are you kidding me? Are you old-fashioned? Oh, no, it's the Word of God. Thus says the Lord. Remember, it was a thus saith the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. That's all you got to do. He says, just walk in that way and you will find absolute rest for your soul. There's so much agitation in this world and in our spirits and in our life. And you can be going along good, and all of a sudden you're all agitated. You're like, oh my goodness, I was doing so good. Where did that thing come from? Well, you came from the north. Now you know. Now don't forget, heaven's above that. And Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're seated at his hand. But he said, ladies, you all ask for the old ways. Ask how Sarah, Abraham's wife, did it. Ask how Deborah did it. That's why I'm telling you how Deborah did it. Ask how your mama did it. I was just asking the Lord this morning how my mama did it. Listen, my mother wasn't a prayer warrior, but she prayed. She covered us. She cried many tears for us. She cried when she didn't know what was going on. But ask for the old path. Lord, what does the Bible say? How am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to act? How am I supposed to dress? Well, I would say, at least be a little conservative in your dress. Ladies, it's summertime. Don't go out in Daisy Dukes. We don't care to see all your naked leg. Now, however you go at home, that's your business. Don't be going out showing stuff. Don't do that. Ask for the old ways. Ask for the good ways. He said, that'll bring you rest. How did an old mama pray for a baby? How did she treat her husband? What did she do in the home? What did she do? Okay, so I'll just leave that there. That's self-explanatory. But ask to see. Ask an older woman what she did. How did she clean the house? What did she do? It'll give you rest. Well, here's a direct word from God out of his mouth to us. And I'm closing. I'm going to go at Isaiah 42 and 6. Isaiah 42 and verse 6. Oh, ladies, listen now. Here's your reward. I, the Lord, I've called you to righteousness. I called you to righteousness, and I will hold your hand. You won't even have to walk in this holiness and righteousness by yourself. Because sometimes the temptations get great, but he says, but I will hold your hand and I will keep you. As a result, now I put that there, that's my own. So what's the result of us believing that God has called us to walk in righteousness and he'll hold our hands and he will keep us? Now, this is a result of our crying out prayer. We've been crying to him in prayer. We've been seeking him about our family or whatever you're seeking him for. But I want you to see how God gets involved. When you begin to cry out to him and you begin to, your prayers and your wailing heart. See, I can't cry. Oh, no, yes, you do. Just let your husband stick his tongue out at you. Or let the kids do something wild or whatever. Oh, you boo-hoo all over the place. And I used to not be able to cry like that. But now I just cry to tear up. Sometimes I don't want to tear up with you, but I do. But see, those things come out of our heart. And when you're alone and you start crying, I don't want you just crying because you feel sad about something. I want you to have the power of that cry that comes out of your heart. And when you do, then God gets all involved and he gets all worked up. And he loves it when he knows, man, they're passionate and they're prevailing in prayer. Look at this in verse 13. That's Isaiah 42, 13. The Lord, look how worked up he is. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man, and he shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. Woo, he shall cry out. You think you cry? You wait till you hear him cry out. Yes, he will cry out. Yes, shout aloud. He'll shout so loud, it'll shake those bar doors off of your child, off of your loved one, off the situation, and it'll break those iron bars in Jesus' name. Woo! Yes, he shall cry out. Yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. See, your enemies are his enemy. Whatever bothering you is bothering him. If you don't like it, he don't like it. So he said, you've been shouting about it? Let me take it from here. And he'll just, then it'll come up here with me in a minute. I know. Okay. So you're doing your best to make things happen. And then, start crying. I should have called Debbie. Okay, cry, woman. Okay. And then God says, look at that. Okay. Ah, she's crying. I'll take it from here. I got it. Sit down. I'll take it. It says God will cry out like a mighty man of war. And if you've ever seen a man get all wild and worked up and mad at something, you just watch him. God says, I'll just show him up a million times over. Woo, I'll shout and I'll take over my enemies. Verse 14. Man, this broke me up. Let me just loosely say, what if this next verse is true? What if this next line is true? And it is. But I'm just saying, what if it is? Verse 14. I'm so glad he put this here. I have held my peace. God says, I've just held my peace for a long time. And I have been still. I saw everything going on in America. I've seen the mess. I've seen what you, the woman of God, and you, the man of God, what you guys have put up with. He said, I've watched it all. And I have held my peace for a long time because I thought maybe they would get over it. And I thought if I showed myself good to them, they would return to me. And then he says, I've held my peace a long time and I've been still. And then he says, I've restrained myself. I just had to hold myself back from running in like a madman. But he said, now, look at this. Now I will cry. I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant. And this isn't a pre-baby class. He said, I will pant and I will gasp at once. All of a sudden, he said, you'll see me start breathing like a woman in labor. Rhythmically, like this, with great rhythm. And he said, and then it's all going to be over. I will not restrain myself anymore. I won't hold myself back. I'm going to pant and I'm going to gasp. God is calling out to his church. If we literally knew how important what I've given you this morning is, the power of a woman's cry. Hallelujah. And Isaiah 43 and 4. Here's your promise, girls. Get this. He said, I've held back, but I'm not doing that. Now is the time. I'm going to let go. So you cry out to me and you watch to see my hand in this hour. Since you were precious, Isaiah 43 and 4, since you were precious in my sight, what if that is true? What if you really are precious to him? Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored. Honored by who? By him. By that God we were singing about. The Revelation song. He said, you've been precious in my sight, and I have honored you, and I have loved you. Verse 5 says, fear not, for I am with you. What are you worried about? What are you afraid of? It's not going to work? What are you afraid of? You can't hold on? No, he said, fear not. I am with you. Since you were precious in my sight, I've honored you. I have loved you. Oh, I'm just telling you guys. Jesus loved the women that traveled with him. When he's dying on that cross full of blood, dude, his eyes were full of blood. He couldn't hardly see. He saw his mama down there. He said, John, behold your mother. Wasn't John's mother. It was Jesus' mother. What was he saying? He said, I love my mama. And you take care of that woman. Now she's your mama. Why? Because I'm sure Mary cried out so many times for that baby and her boy and the man who was dying right there in front of her. So men, I tell you today, you take care of your wife. You honor her. And you respect her and honor her in front of your children. Let the children see how much you love her and care for her like Jesus did. It's the most powerful thing that you can do. In fact, the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians, Paul said this. He said, get along, men and women, that your prayers be not hindered. So if you're wondering why your prayers are hindered, could it be because you're not getting along? He said, honor your wife as a weaker vessel. In fact, he was talking to the men just before he got there and said, get along with her. Say, no, it starts with a woman. No, it starts with the men. Yeah, we'll go there next time, all right? But I hear the Lord saying to us, ladies and gentlemen, all of us, time to quit talking about things. Time to quit talking about how bad things are, your children, grandchildren, whatever it is. And just awake, Deborah. Again, ask him, awaken me, Lord. Wake me up. I can't do it by myself, but you awaken me. You bring those tears. You let me cry out of my heart. So God, you will cry out of your heart and out of your mouth. You'll shout and you'll get up. Because church, I'll tell you right now, stand on your feet with me. Life will cease until mama gets up. Come on, ladies, don't hold it back. I see you back there holding back your tears. Cry out, cry out. Come on, all the mamas, I want you to come up here with me, please. Hurry up. Come on, mama, don't wait. Life will cease. You've got to cry out for their souls, mama. You've got to cry out until there comes a change. Don't you stop praying when they get grown up. That's no time to stop. Honey, you stop praying for that little angel right now and for his spouse. If Jesus doesn't come, they may have a little spouse. I pray for my kids, my little grandchildren's wives and husbands right now. I prayed for David when Sarah was a little girl at the altar with me, 2 or 3 years old. I called him in, Lord. Let his parents be Christians. Not only was his parents Christians, they were ministers of the gospel. They're preachers, they're pastors. Not only that, but my daughter spent her life in homeschool, traveling around the United States. David spent 12 years in homeschool. I'm telling you, God will hear your prayers. You can pray 30 years ahead of time, 20 years ahead, or you can start right now. It's never too late to start. You say, I didn't pray the way I should have been praying over them. Well, come on, leave that alone. That's water under the bridge. Start right now. Let's start today in Jesus' name. Ladies, come on up a little closer with me. Come on, come a little closer. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to take whatever it is, and I want you to cry over right now. Pray over it and let God have it. Men, I want you to gather in behind these women. Come on, even if you're a guest. Come up here behind these women. Let's support them. And I want you men to start praying over these precious women. Pray over them now. All you men, please come. Shodalaba. Oh, yes, Lord. Woo, touch these precious women. It's all right, Mama. Cry out. What? I know you've cried your share of tears. You all have cried, Mama. That girl, you just wait to see the glory of the Lord, Mama. The best is yet to come. Karen, the best is yet to come, honey. No, it's not over. It's not over. Hold him up. Hold him up. The best is yet to come, mama. Cry that thing through. Cry that thing through. Cry it through. The Lord is praise right now. Come on, somebody thank the Lord. Raise your hands to give him a praise. Come on. Let's lift our hands and say thank you, Jesus, for your word to us. Thank you that you know who we are. Thank you that you know where we are. Thank you that you know what the women of God have need of. Lord, I pray that this message will be shared many, many times online. Let it be shared. Lord, it needs to go around, and I bless this word straight from heaven today. And women of God, may you never be able to rest until you pray that thing through and get rid of it and denounce it and cause God to rise up and just take dominion over his enemy. Your enemy is his enemy. Hallelujah. Give him one more hand clap of worship. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. From heaven when you pray. Say, Pastor, I don't, maybe I don't feel like I'm trained to hear the voice of the Lord yet. Oh, you will. You will learn to distinguish his voice from the devil and from your flesh and when it's him. He'll help you with that. See, he helps us with everything. You don't have to depend upon you, so get your mind off of you. We don't have to depend on us. He does exactly what he wants to do if you want him to do it. So tell him you want to hear his voice, and he will speak as you pray. God bless you guys. I love you so much. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May be gracious to you, and may he turn his countenance towards you and bless you and give you new strength and mercies every morning. May he bless you in your finances and in your body and in your health, and be blessed in your home. May peace rest upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you Wednesday night at 6:30. I love you guys. Happy Mother's Day.